Well, thank you for joining me. We're going to pray the chaplet of divine mercy right now. And before we do, though, I want to thank you. Last week was extraordinary. I'll be really honest with you. When Monday started, we had a great hour here. You were so generous. But numbers were a little bit low. Tuesday, during that pledge drive, I'm thinking, oh, we got a long way to go to get to goal. This is going to be a tough, tough pledge drive. But it really didn't turn out that way. And to be honest with you, and through God's grace, our goal of 2.7 was hit. We went over that while we were on the air on Friday, just closing short of about $3 million. And you know what's really interesting to me? We had promised that, you know, when this pledge drive began, no matter what it was, we were going to put our trust in God, and we were going to tithe just 10% of the revenue that came in to help those that had no water or housing or food. The poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere was devastated by another earthquake, as you know. And we decided to give back to God. Well, God gave it back to us through your generosity. And I just want to say thank you as well. We fell just short of 3.2. So that will help us stay on the air for the months ahead. It's going to help those who are a lot less than you and I do. And I know God's going to multiply it. So I just want to say thank you for your generosity and for your charity. If you were away on vacation last week and you said, what? You guys had your summer pledge drive? You can always make a donation online at relevantradio.com. You can still call 877-291-0123. But I just want a big thank you. You know, I asked enough. I just want to say thank you. You always move my heart very much. I pray that you're okay with COVID. As you know, coming up a little bit later, I'll be talking about the Pfizer vaccination, getting the FDA approval today. If you didn't hear that news, stay with me. I'll fill you in on all the details you need to know about that. But speaking of Pfizer, Archbishop Raymond Burke, here's an answer to prayer for you, right? I started at the beginning of the show sharing a little bit about this. I was at a dinner on Tuesday night or Thursday night of this week. A bunch of people, my phone was blowing up. I was getting a text from somebody very close to Cardinal Burke. And he says, you got to pray. It does not look good. Cardinal Burke had been in a coma. He was on a ventilator, and things, he says, really aren't good. But adoration chapels were filled with people praying. You and I prayed the chaplet over and over again here, right? We prayed the rosary. Masses were being offered. Well, this is just an answer to prayer, in my opinion. The cardinal was taken off the ventilator. He was transferred from ICU to a hospital room. Somebody very close to him said he was sitting up in a chair today. So that is the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer to change things. A situation that looked terrible, right? Terrible. And if you had weak faith or no faith, you thought, oh, he's going to go the same route as everybody else did. He's kind of up. He's got maybe some comorbidities. Doesn't look good. With God, all things are possible. He can turn a health condition around in a heartbeat. And our prayers go to you, Cardinal Burke. Thank you very much. His gratitude goes to everyone who prayed. They sent out a press report, a release not too long ago, just thanking everyone for their prayers. Keep praying for him. Pray for Jesse Jackson. I don't know if you heard about him. He's been hospitalized as well. Jesse Jackson, along with his wife, Jacqueline, have been hospitalized. They have COVID-19. Both of them have been vaccinated, all right? But the Reverend right now, 79 years old. His wife is 77, and they're in a hospital there in Chicago. So we'll see how they fare, but prayers on the way for him. And just a couple quick petitions here, and then I'll take your calls here as well. This one really got to my heart. A mother wrote to me. I was reading my emails last night. I was actually in bed, opened the laptop, and said, okay, let me answer some emails. And then I had to spend time in prayer. You know, instead of going to sleep, I ended up praying for those of you who are writing to me. This person says, Drew, thanks for the chaplet. Thank everyone at Relevant Radio for touching so many lives. He says, I need prayer. Just this afternoon, the person said, afternoon/evening, I found out both of my children, they're adults, 35 and 38, they identify as bisexual. So both of this woman's children identify as bisexual. She says it was quite a jolt. I'd already begun to come to terms with the likelihood that I'll not have a grandchild. I'll never be a grandmother. But living with their boyfriend, living with their girlfriend, one for 10 years, this is something completely different. I don't know what to think or to pray except to ask God just to please help them. Thank you for also praying for them to know the truth and to know love. And I'll keep her name anonymous. But I am praying for you. I prayed for you that night, and that has got to be a very heavy cross for you as a mother to bear. And I want to pray for anyone who is struggling in this area, any parent. I want to pray for anybody with Anyone who's struggling, let me just put it that way. We all have problems, right? But, so often, there's porn addictions. There's people who are cohabitating. There's a woman thinking about abortion. There's same-sex attraction. And not that that's wrong. The act itself is, and we got to be clear about a lot of that. I want to pray that we can live our lives as God intended for us to live. One final intention here, and then I could spend all day talking about this, but this mother is asking for prayers. Her husband has surgery, right, coming up. She writes in this message, "We have survived a plane crash on July 10th. My husband has been in the burn unit in Phoenix, Arizona since then. And I'm asking all of the angels, all of those beautiful prayer warriors, all of those divine mercy intercessors, especially Mother Mary and St. Peregrine's intercession for his surgery. In the name of Jesus, he has lost hope and he's just not eating." And my heart goes out to you, Barbara. We are praying for you as well. You're part of our spiritual family, and our prayers are on their way, okay? Let's pray for each other now as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, praying with me today is Chris Flood, my colleague. Chris, before we take our first call, anything you'd like to have pray for?
Pray for my niece Maggie and her new husband Michael. They were married on Saturday.
All right.
After postponing their wedding for a whole year because of COVID. So blessings to them.
Such great news. That's awesome. Congratulations. All right, let's take Ronnie too, listening in Rhode Island. So I guess we got to pray for everyone in Rhode Island as well, Massachusetts, Connecticut, facing that storm. Ronnie, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Hope you're faring well there with the weather. What can we pray for today?
Yes, I'm praying that I bring. I have bipolar. I want my bipolar to go. And I pray for me and my wife that we get closer to our families, and I pray that I get closer with the church and we grow spiritually strong.
That's a great prayer.
I pray for Aunt Edie to get a healed recovery. She broke her her leg.
All right. Well, let's pray right now, Ronnie. And you know that prayer that you just asked for, that prayer of asking the Lord to help you get closer to him. Lord, promise in the chapel that anything we ask for, if it's according to his will be granted, right? Through this prayer. I know he's going to hear that prayer. You're going to get the graces that you need. So I lift up all of your intentions. I want to pray for you and your wife's marriage. I want to pray for new marriages. I want to pray for those with troubled marriages as well. And it just came to my heart to want to pray for infertility. Anyone struggling with that right now? Lift that up. And a woman's name, Amy, if you're listening, I'm going to pray for you right now, too. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to St. Paul, Minnesota next. Christy is praying with us there. Hi, Christy. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would like to pray for those who are thinking about committing suicide and for the souls in purgatory. Specifically, I want to pray for Shirley Mole, who is a neighbor of mine, and she told me that when she gets older, she'll commit suicide because she doesn't want to be in a nursing home, and her birthday is coming up, and I hope she'll be saved. I would also like to pray for Ryan, who committed suicide, and I hope he was able to be with the Lord, and also for the officer in the Capitol who committed suicide. And I just want to, for all those who are in purgatory, and a special intention for Paul, who was sick in the hospital, and special intention for my father.
All right. Well, beautiful prayers. We'll pray for your dad right now, okay, Christy? But thank you for praying for those who have lost loved ones by suicide. It's a tough way to lose somebody you love. And I want to pray for your neighbor. I want to pray for anyone who has suicidal ideations right now, anyone who is depressed or facing a situation that they don't think they'll be able to get beyond. And Lord, I just ask that your presence be felt. You know, there is always hope. There's always hope. If you've lost somebody to suicide, the church teaches very clearly that we have to entrust these souls to the mercy of God. And I really believe God reaches out to souls, especially between those last moments on this life and the next. God is love and mercy itself. God is love and mercy itself. So let's put our trust in him. And let's pray right now. Lord, I just ask for those really suffering, really emotionally and psychologically now. And I pray for that healing that these souls need. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Well, that's the home of the NFL. Marie is listening to us there. Hi, Marie. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Thanks. I would like to offer my brother, Joe. He is very sick after heart and colon surgery. And I would like to pray that we all as a family get closer and that there would be a kind of reconciliation and that I could be able to be an instrument in my brother's healing.
All right, love that. Beautiful prayer. Let's pray for it. Marie, have faith, okay? Trust. Thanks. Pray many chaplets. That's my advice to you. Pray this prayer over and over again. And again, I go back to that very point that I know the Lord hears this prayer. And that's one of those prayers I'm sure the Lord wants, is that reconciliation. He wants that healing. You know, this is a prayer that is always heard and answered. I believe it. So, you know, Scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all of our heart, right? Don't lean on our own understanding. Lord, we trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Christine praying with us in Plymouth, Minnesota. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just asking for prayers for my son, Joseph. I'm asking for a healing and a liberation from his alcohol addiction. My husband and I are going to Our Lady of Good Help this weekend, so we're praying for a real miracle. Thank you, Drew.
You got it. I'll be praying for you, Christine, okay? And you know, again, that is an anointed place. There have been so many miracles of healing that have taken place there. A lot of conversion, too. A lot of grace comes at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. It's the only approved apparition in the country. And Our Lady appeared during the late 1800s. Christine, you know, I'll say this to you, and I've said it a million times. Addictions can be broken. I know as a parent, when you see your child struggling with them, you think, this will never happen. Don't fall into that mindset. Put your trust in God and believe that that prayer will be answered, okay? Do not give up hope. Continue to trust in the Lord. And I guarantee you, this is one of those prayers. I know the Lord wants your son freed from that addiction. For those of you who have loved ones with addiction, the Lord does not want that person in those chains. He wants them free. And I believe healing comes. I've seen it in my own life multiple times when it comes to addiction. That's why I can speak to you so definitively about this. Lord, I pray for anyone right now who's got a loved one with a sexual addiction, a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, a compulsion, or any sort of other disorder they might be dealing with, any sort of addictive personality, any sort of compulsion. And I just ask you to go in and you heal the source of that wound, you reorient and you restore. You allow that soul to fulfill the great mission you created them for. And I ask this by the passion and death of your son, Jesus, and by the prayers of all who now cry out to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Cindy is praying with us in Madison, Wisconsin. Cindy, welcome. Good to pray with you.
Hi, Drew. I have two intentions. One for a good friend who has brain cancer, and the family's having a very hard time with that. And the other intention is for my brother-in-law, who has suffered a heart attack and a stroke. So I ask for complete healing for these two people, if it's God's will.
All right, amen to that. We'll pray for that, for brain cancer, for cancer, for anyone with stroke or heart issues. Lord, I give to you all those now united to me in prayer. You know their needs, and you know their wants, and you know their desires. You know what's best for them. I want to pray for those who are traveling, those who are unemployed right now, those who have no place to stay or are homeless. Lord, I want to pray for those struggling to make ends meet and who are drowning in debt. And I just pray for liberation, freedom, for your providence. I pray for that mother right now contemplating aborting her child. I want to pray for that soul thinking about taking their life. And I want to pray for those in Afghanistan, those suffering religious persecution, those seeking freedom and a better way of life. I pray for our country. I pray for those who are sick. Lord, I pray for those in troubled marriages and those cheating on their spouses. I pray for those who've been abused and those who are now abusing. Lord, I pray for those who reject you, who don't know you. Lord, those who need our prayers right now. So I give you these intentions. I ask you to read the heart of every one of your children. And in your mercy, hear and answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all, and Saint Rosa Lima, patron saint today, pray for us. And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for praying with me, Chris.
My pleasure.
And, you know, if I have a chance, I'll share with you Saint Rosa Lima's story. I prayed at her tomb. I was down in Peru. And she was such an extraordinary saint. Wow, you should call upon her in a big time way. I'll have to tell you her story coming up. But I'll take a short break here. I just want to again thank you. I know we prayed this chapel every day together. I thank you for your prayers. I ask you to pray for me. I need God's protection, and I need his providence, and I certainly need his healing and his blessing. And I'm grateful for everyone who prays for me. And I know that I pray for you every day, and I mean that. I pray for you without exception, day in and day out. I really feel connected to you in a special way because you're part of my spiritual family. And as I read these emails at night, or you know, when I open my show in the morning or whenever I'm going through, my heart goes out to you. And I stop and I pray right there. And I know we're praying for each other. Is that God answers your prayers? Those miracles come in. And I know there are so many, you know, so many miracles. I'll tell you a quick story. I was walking into the studio today. I walked past this Divine Mercy image that we have in right outside of the main hallway here leading down to my studio. And there's two books. And I marvel at these books because they lay there. There's a picture of St. Faustina, the image of Divine Mercy that the Lord asked her to paint, have painted. And then these books. And in these two books are your answered prayers. And they are huge. I mean, there's so many answered prayers from the chaplet. It's ridiculous. I mean, I just thank God for it. And it inspires me. It gives me faith and a lot of hope. And I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm thankful for your donations, too. If you're just tuning in, we hit a record pledge drive, this pledge drive. And we went over our goal. We just fell short of about $3.2 million. That's going to get us way into the winter, or at least to the fall, late fall, to keep us going here. And at the same time, we're going to help those who have a little less than us, especially those down in Haiti who've really suffered. So, hey, when we come back, and we prayed for those who have sexual disorientation, let's say, Bishop Burbridge is going to be stopping by. He's going to be joining me. And he recently issued a document. I want to talk about this document. It's a letter from him. Talking about this transgender ideology, and that ideology claims that a person's biological sex or their personal identity have no necessary connection. In fact, they can contradict each other. And I want to look at this through the eyes of the church and what mess it has created. I mean, there's really, this is so good. Stay with me. In fact, we'll maybe get the link for you up on Twitter too, at Drew Mariani Show. You'll find all that stuff there. But we'll come back. We'll have that conversation a little bit later, too. Pfizer announced, you know, that, or the FDA announced that Pfizer has gotten the green light. It's been approved now. So I'm going to break all that down. What's that mean for you? And what do we know about side effects and efficacy? That and a whole lot of other stuff coming up. So stay with me. Okay. Oh, one more thing, too. Mayor Lightfoot received the Eucharist. Did you hear about that? You probably didn't. I'll fill you in on that, too. That's coming up all today's show. So don't go anywhere. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you. I want to dive into an issue that, you know, it's a sensitive one. I always want to be very charitable, very loving, and of course, very compassionate. A couple of weeks ago, the Loudoun County School Board in Virginia, They voted to allow children to play on whatever sports team that they wanted. Right? Now, you might have heard the story. You may not have. You say, well, why is that a story? Well, those kids can play on whatever sports team they want, regardless of their sex, and to use whatever bathroom they want, regardless of their sex. So this county school board has been, of course, at the forefront of this whole gender identity push, and it's getting a lot of pushback from parents. And those parents now have some help to make arguments from Bishop Michael Burbridge from the Diocese of Arlington. He's going to be stopping by in a second to join us. But let me just – I have a guest that often frequents the show, and I know you've heard him here before. His name's Walt Heyer. He was a man. He transitioned to a woman for about 8 years. He went through all the genitalia surgery, the hormones and everything, and then realized that that did not resolve the issues that he was dealing with internally. And he transitioned back. He's a whole ministry now trying to help people because quite often the suicide rate for those who go down this path is ridiculous. It's high. And he makes the case that, you know, if you leave children alone, if you don't affirm them, the change, you know, reaffirm the change that I think 93% of the kids ultimately revert back. Here's Walt Heyer. Let me share with you what he said. I think he can say it better.
If we leave the child alone and don't affirm them, don't give them a new name and tell them to go to school if it's a boy, it's a girl. If we don't affirm that and don't push that, up to 92% of them will desist by the time they're adult.
92%.
Up to 92%. It can somewhere between 80-some percent and 92%.
They'll grow out of it.
They'll just basically grow out of it. Here's the problem. And the side who's advocating for this knows this. If we get them on hormone blockers and get them going down the path of cross-dressing, identifying, and going through this whole thing, 100% of them will stay transgender.
Sure. Yeah.
That because they're locked in. They've changed. Once you begin to stop puberty and begin to interrupt the natural development of the body, you've interfered with the process that God had intended for them to go through. And so you're playing God with somebody's body.
Catching them early and then...
And they know that. This is why they keep lowering the age group. I mean, they're cutting girls' breasts off now at 12 and 13 years old and putting them on hormone blockers. They're doing it with younger and younger and younger.
Yeah, if you have somebody you love that is going through this or they feel that they are transgender, check out his website. It's called sexchangeregret.com. That's his website. He's written a couple books. Excellent resource for you. Really will help you. He's been down this path. He's made the change, and he's come back, and he's seen the data there. And there's so much going on, though. This ideology, this teaching, your kids are being indoctrinated by it. You see what's happening in these school boards. And I want to take my hat off to the bishop of the Diocese of Arlington, Bishop Burbridge. You know, he's seeing the same thing. You know, he and his diocese realized that the church's teaching on our sexual identity needed to be summed up and needed to be made clear so that people can understand the reality of what our Catholic faith teaches, but also the reality of the human person, how God created us, what we were intended to be. And as the bishop, you know, I read his document earlier today. He stated at the very beginning of his catechesis on the human person and gender ideology. He says, from medicine, natural law, and divine revelation, we know, he says, each person is created either male or female from the moment of conception. And you know what? That's not theology. That's science. That is actually basic science. You know, it's basic science that is being conveniently ignored. It's being twisted. That's why I don't understand this. I don't know how we can throw science out, you know, and go down this path of saying, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. Instead of understanding what happens at the moment of fertilization, we're being told that people don't need to identify with their gender. That's, you know, you can assign whatever gender you want at birth, put it on your birth certificate, you know, whatever you feel you are, that's fine. I don't know about you, but I don't think the doctor who's delivering the baby, and I've been in the OR many times. My wife had 5 C-sections, right? And so I was there. I was there in the operating room when my children came out. You know, the doctor would say, oh, it's a boy. It's a boy. My first 3 were boys. During the fourth child, they started to take the child. And I said to my honey, it's a 4th boy. And he said, slow down, doc. He says, it's actually a girl. And he held it up, right? So here we are in the operating room. And how do I identify that it was a girl? Well, it's pretty obvious how it's a girl versus it's a boy, right? The doctor called it out. You know, now we're at the point where I could have went to the birth certificate and said, well, I don't know what she is or he is, or I'll let them choose what their sexuality is later. It's wacky, right? It's wacky. We have all these gender reveal parties and stuff. That's trending now. How long will that happen, right? Here's a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of the human person that's going on right now in our culture. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of how God created us. And Bishop Burbridge is trying to teach people what that reality is. And when you read his document, it's very clear. It's very obvious. If you want to find the catechesis, you can go there at arlingtondiocese.org as a website. And we're also going to post it on our Facebook page and our Twitter. Go to at Drew Mariani Show. And please follow us on those social media outlets. We always are trying to plug into some good stuff. Your Excellency, thank you for your writing. And thanks for being a voice of just truth in the culture today. We need you. I'm grateful to have you here today.
Drew, thank you so much. Great to be with you and all your listeners today. And yeah, as I'm listening to you, who would ever thought it would be controversial to say that God created us either a man or a woman, that we are at that point where it's controversial and a sensitive thing to say. And so thank God we have the truth, and we want to keep teaching it in love.
You know, I read your piece today, and I want to say, you know, to anyone who's listening, go and read this. It's an easy read. I know sometimes some of these things can be dry or hard to follow, and I went through it, I highlighted it, and I thought, man, this is so on point. It's needed. I'm grateful that you put that out there. I think we're living in a time of great confusion, Your Excellency. Why did you decide to address this particular situation right now? I mean, how rampant is it in your diocese? What motivated you to do it? And I'm curious about you know, what was the driving force behind this?
Well, yeah, I think you hinted at it, is that there is, you know, so much not only confusion out there, there is also so much untruths being spoken and taught. And so really, we approach this as a catechetical teaching statement because we received a significant amount of requests. Obviously, you know, Bishop, I believe that God created us in his image and likeness as man and woman, but it's being challenged in the workplace, even in with members of my own family. How do I explain this? And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that was our intention, that to put it in language, but you know, not to water it down. We use philosophical language, theological language, pastoral language, but to put it in a way where, okay, I understand this is what the church teaches and why the church teaches it, and I can explain this to my children, to my neighbor, to my colleague, because, you know, your listeners, my parishioners are the ones out there on the front lines there. And so this document is meant to be a help, God willing, a resource to help them.
Now, let me read the opening paragraph, because I think it's so on point. And this is how you start. You say, in the past decade, our culture has seen growing acceptance of transgender ideology. That is, the claim that a person's biological sex and personal identity have no necessary connection and could, in fact, contradict each other. According to this view, human identity is self-defined and becomes the choice of the individual. And here's the part I love about this. Consequently, our culture is experiencing a rapid rise in the number of persons claiming an identity contrary to their biological sex. Attempts to accommodate such claims already have resulted in tremendous upheavals in our social, legal, and medical systems. And that really is, isn't it, Your Excellency, the bad fruit of a bad ideology. We're seeing this manifest in school. We're seeing it in our legal system. We're seeing it in the medical systems. We're seeing it in society at large. What happened? In your own assessment, how do we get to this point where such rational and quite often intelligent people in many of those fields bought into something that seems to me so obvious on so many different levels? It seems we're throwing the science out. And now you're seeing this ripple out, and you're seeing the negative effects of it in law, medicine, and society at large. Your thoughts on how we got here and where we're going?
Right, and it's you're correct in saying when you begin with error, or you begin with a falsehood, then it's only going to lead to more mistakes and more errors, and so that is what we're seeing. So how do we get there? I think part of it could be that we live in kind of a society in that which is a good thing that we are to accept everyone. Well, of course, God, our Lord Jesus teaches that we accept, we respect one another as brothers and sisters. But it's getting to an extreme where people falsely think that to respect someone means that you must accept whatever he or she says or thinks, even though you know it's wrong or it's false. So what we are saying in this document, no, it is because we love you, it's because we, treat you as a brother or sister, that we want to speak the truth. Because in the end, that is what will bring, in fact, that's the only thing that will bring that peace, that fulfillment, that serenity, that joy that you're seeking. You're not going to find it by denying the truth. And so acceptance, doesn't mean that we accept a person's statement just because I think or imagine, when we know it is wrong. And so I think that's how we get to that. There's kind of a misunderstanding of what dialogue is or what, so often we hear, well, we have to have tolerance. Well, right. That means that there's tolerance on both ends. Yes, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I as a person of reason, as a person of faith, also should be heard, and I think sometimes that gets missed.
I think that's such a wonderful point. And when I approach any issue like this, whether it's same-sex marriage or homosexuality, whether it is gender identity or this fluidity, these issues, it's really easy to be us against them, to be uncharitable or to sound unloving, but we really have to approach this with love and out of love. And sometimes the truth doesn't always sound that way. It does it, Your Excellency, but it needs to be heard. This gentleman, Walt Heyer, you might be familiar with him. As I mentioned, he had transitioned to a woman for about 8 years, and his life was not any happier. And he came back, and he says he's seen so many people commit suicide. The suicide rate for those who go down that path is incredibly high. The depression, the anxiety that so many go through. We need to approach them with love. We also need to proclaim this message pretty clearly. And you consult it with experts in bioethics, in law, in theology, in counseling. How do we best approach this with love? Because I know sometimes when we speak the truth like this, what we want is freedom for the individual, and the church is often looked at as a church saying no, 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 when in reality we're saying yes, 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 to freedom, to life, to marriage, where the culture is quite often the one who's really championing that no. I'd love your perspective on that.
Yeah, and that's right. We used a great team of expertise and wisdom and pastoral counselors, all to help us with this document, because we wanted it to speak truth compassionately, and like you said, you certain those reports of when you embrace a falsehood, it's not going to bring the kind of gifts that you're looking for. It's going to bring often those sad things that you mentioned, and sometimes too, many of our counselors and others who helped us with the document, later on in life, when a person who comes back to, will even come back to parents saying, why did you allow me to do this? Why did you guide me this way? At the time, the parent maybe thought, well, this was the right thing to do or the parental thing to do. No, right. The right thing to do, the parental thing to do, as it is in any area of life, it says, no, you may not want to hear this at this time, But this is reality. This is truth. We can't, we love you so much, we have to tell you this is the path that you must travel. You must avoid embracing a falsehood that will cause you, you know, sadness if you go that way. So I know, you know, when we speak the truth, we just look at the Lord himself, right? The Lord, when he spoke, it was very, very much often countercultural,
right.
So much different what the world was saying.
Right.
But we saw the way he treated people. He listened to people. He reassured them of his love. If we truly care about someone, then we don't affirm what is false. We listen to them with sincerity, with compassion. We work to identify what's really at the root of the issue here. Are we really looking at what's at the root of the issue,
right.
and
right.
addressing it appropriately? So I know right. you know, so many families are dealing with this issue, and I always encourage, there's a section there in our document speaking directly to parents, and you know, just saying that throughout this whole process, listen,
Amen.
You know, reaffirm your love for your son or your daughter, and listen to them, and together try to get at what the real issue is.
Right. My guest today is His Excellency Bishop Burbridge. He is trying to teach the people, the nation, really the world of the country, about this gender dysphoria that seems to be just spreading like wildfire in every section of the country here. If you want to read it, you can find it at his website, arlingtondiocese.org, but we've also posted it on Twitter and Facebook, so if you follow us there, it's right there. Please share it with others. It's a great read. If you want to join us in our conversation, I have to take a really short pause. He's only going to be with me probably another 10 minutes. You can get in right now, so feel free to pull up a chair. It's 888-914-9149. That's your direct access to the line. We'd love to hear from you. When we come back, we'll talk more, so stay with us.
Connect with Drew. Relevant Radio.
At 888-914-9149.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be with you today. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking this afternoon with His Excellency Bishop Michael Burbridge from Arlington, Virginia, from the diocese there. And he just came out with a wonderful document. And I want to get you plugged into it. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, it's up. If not, you can go to his website and get it there. We link over to it for you. He wrote a catechesis on the human person and on gender ideology. And you know, we live in a time where our kids are being taught in school that everyone can choose his or her sex. Why are we teaching this? Why are we fomenting confusion? He says in his piece, let's not play with truths. It's truth that behind all of this, we find gender ideology. In books that kids learn that it's possible to change one's sex. Could gender to be a woman or to be a man be an option and not a fact of nature? He says that leads to all sorts of error. Let's call things by name. And here's a really important point. I want to grab some phones because I don't have a whole lot of time here. He says this in the document. Gender dysphoria is a psychological condition in which a biological male or female comes to feel that that his or her emotional and or physical identity does not match his or her biological sex and experiences clinically significant distress as a result. Situations involving gender dysphoria must always be addressed with pastoral charity and compassion rooted in truth. Any unjust discrimination or needless insensitivity in addressing such situations must be avoided or corrected. Sounds very much like we read about homosexuality in the catechism of the church as well. He consulted just a wonderful team of people, experts in theology, bioethics, clinical counseling, civil law, canon law, priests, about the issue, and that's a great document for you. Bookmark it, all right? I want to take a few calls for him. Your Excellency Charlene is listening to us in Phoenix, Arizona. Charlene, welcome. You're on the air with His Excellency.
Hi.
Hi, Your Excellency. And Drew, thanks for all you do. I am reading right now a book called, it's by Abigail Shire, and it's called Irreversible Damage. Mm. And I am in absolute shock as to what is happening, how long it's been happening, and how parents are not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
When they do many times become aware of it, the specialists, the doctors, the people, the schools, the teachers, the school boards are saying, oh, what do you want your child to commit suicide? They're hanging that over their head saying, you know, they're going to commit suicide if you don't let them, you know, do it, you know, trade over. And the other reason why so many of the experts are not speaking up is because of the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're being taken out of universities. They're being taken off boards. They're being threatened with their licenses.
Right.
They've had to buy into this to save their careers. I mean, it's the most shocking book I've ever read.
Well, Charlene, thank you for calling. I want the bishop to address that. Of course, Irreversible Damage is the book that you're talking about. And Your Excellency, the cancel culture, this is a byproduct of it. I know a lot of people, a lot of teachers, a lot of people in the medical, you know, what am I looking for? The medical field is the word I'm looking for. Yeah, they could lose their job for not, you know, providing a procedure or something along those lines, and they're being canceled. Could you address that? I mean, it takes a lot of courage to speak the truth and also to be willing to lose your job over that truth.
Yeah, sure. And Charlene, as point is very real. I, you know, constantly parishioners, you know, tell me what it's like to be in the workplace, to be in a university campus, or even in their own community, the threats that are real for speaking the truth. So we know it's not easy, right? It's not always easy to be countercultural. And to speak the truth, there's sometimes a price to be paid, whether it's just to be ridiculed or falsely labeled, or to, in this day and age, so sadly, to be canceled. But that's always been true about those who follow Christ. It was true from the very beginning. There is a cost, and there is a cross, and it will require courage. But, you know, the thing that is also countercultural about us is that we speak the truth in love. So, you know, Charlene, continue to, you know, proudly share with others, you know, the truth, the faith, the morals that we believe. Keep doing it in love, because that's not what's happening in our culture today. Those who disagree with us, those who embrace what is false, often do so without love and right. seek to cancel us right. or threaten us or whatever. And if we give in to that, then our voices will be silenced, and we cannot allow that to happen. And so I know for many of our listeners, I know what I'm saying takes a great deal of courage.
Yes, it does.
But if we are true followers of Christ, we're not going to allow ourselves to be canceled or silenced. And, you know, certainly I knew in issuing this document, there's been a very good and positive response, but there have been some attacks that are just, you know, out there. I knew that was happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you say, you know what, when we have the truth.
Yeah. You know, that's a good sign, though.
That's a beautiful thing to share.
That's a good sign. That means you're close to the target. When you get that type of flack, right. you know you're doing something right. Hey, I want to sneak another call in. Chris is listening in North Carolina. Wants to thank you. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bishop Burbidge. This is Chris Berry from St. Stanislaus in Castle Hayne. And I am
Chris, my former diocese.
Yes, and I'm so blessed to hear from you. When you first came to this former diocese, you prayed over me for healing, and I was healed. And I don't
great
have,
to hear
I
that.
Don't have all the technology, so I don't get to hear all this, but it was such a blessing to turn Drew on and hear you. I just wanted to thank you for being such a so filled with fortitude and courage to speak the truth, because the truth will set our land and us free.
Amen.
And we need to hear it from every bishop and every person that we know who knows the Lord and is a good Catholic or Christian. Yeah. And I thank you that you have spoken out.
Well, thank you, Chris, for the call. I got to hold you right there. I have a minute. I want to give the bishop final thoughts. So there's Chris. I only have about a minute, so I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Well, we thank the good Lord, Chris, for his healing and love of being sent upon you. And, Chris, you're right. If we're going to be the nation that we are called to be, then we have to do it in truth. But the truth, every one of us, whatever position, whatever vocation that God places us in, that's where God needs us to be and to be speaking. We need good people like you, faithful witnesses.
Well, Your Excellency, thank you for your time. And most especially, thank you for writing this document at a time where I think we as a church and as a nation need it. So we're linking over to your website and to the document. We have it up on Facebook and on Twitter. And I hope everybody will read it, and I hope they'll share it with others. I hope you'll come back. I look forward to another conversation with you.
Same here, Drew, and God bless your work, and God bless all your listeners.
Thank you. God bless you. That's His Excellency Bishop Michael Burbridge from the great diocese there in Arlington, Virginia. I've got to take a short pause. Stay with me when we come back. Did you hear about Mayor Lightfoot receiving the Eucharist? I'll fill you in.